Complex. Welcome back to the George Plaster Show. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome in. It's a beautiful Thursday. It'll be an abbreviated show until 5 o'clock today. The Braves rally, thank goodness, to beat Florida 7-6, or is it Miami? Either way, it's the Marlins, and it was two in the bottom of the ninth that got them that victory. Let me very quickly say hello to Coach Watson Brown, who joins us from on the plateau. Watson, how are you?
George, I'm great. I'm glad the Braves won because Zach may have been reviving you laying on the floor there if they'd have lost that one in the ninth. So.
Oh, no.
Just glad they pulled it out for your health reasons.
No, no. We're going to get to even worse times for the Braves in a minute. Just hang in there. Jack Gentry okay. is in studio. Jack, say hello.
Hello, everybody. Good to be back. Braves win. It's always great to follow up a walk-off win from the Braves, especially coming from the bat of Dansby Swanson.
Yeah, he is clutch. There's no doubt about that part. Let me give you real quickly a couple of notes in the world of sports, and then we'll get into stat of the day really quick. Preds in Carolina tonight at 6 o'clock. Preds are on the road. This is game one of a two-game series with the Hurricanes. My opinion, if they could come out of this with 2 points, I would never play it. That's a really good hockey team they're playing on the road, so good luck to them tonight. With their lead right now at 4 over the Blackhawks, but they have played one more game than Chicago. Michael Jordan will apparently serve as Kobe Bryant's presenter at the Naismith Hall of Fame. That announcement coming earlier today. Out of the NBA, a late story that LaMarcus Aldridge is retiring after experiencing an irregular heartbeat during his final appearance with the team, and so he has said, enough is enough on that, and I can't say I blame him. Southern Cal today got 2 years of probation as a result of former assistant coach Tony Bland accepting bribes to steer players to certain business managers and financial advisors once they turn pro. The school was fined $5,000 plus 1% of the men's basketball program budget, and the NCAA accepted recruiting restrictions previously self-imposed by the university. So I would say they came out of that smelling like a rose, did Southern Cal. The Seahawks today, adding former Dallas Cowboy defensive end Alden Smith, a one-year deal, he's 31 years old, and it continues Seattle trying to get themselves some pass rushers. And finally, North Carolina has made official their coaching staff under their new coach, Hubert Davis. They named Sean May. And then two former Vanderbilt assistants, Brad Frederick and Jeff Lebo. And in particular, Lebo is really good. He knows his stuff, and he will do very well in that position. Now, Watson, you wanted to be negative earlier about the Braves, and I'm here to tell you that this is nowhere close to the worst.
Oh, really?
Yes. This is stat of the day kind of stuff.
Oh, geez.
Stat of the day. You ready?
I'm ready.
Ted Turner's record as manager of the Atlanta Braves is 0-1. He managed on May the 11th, 1977, lost to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Baseball then ordered him to get the hell out of the dugout. And the next day, they snapped a 17-game losing streak.
Jeez.
That's your stat of the day.
My man, Ted Turner.
0-1.
0-1.
Yeah.
Oh, thank goodness Major League Baseball did that. What do you figure? How long would he have gone? Knowing Ted Turner, he may have gone the rest of the year, George. I don't know.
I don't know. He didn't know a lot. I got a feeling he'd have gotten on that yacht at some point and said, I'm out of here. Why don't we just see what Danny Evans remembers about that story? Let's bring him up for his weekly visit. Danny, how are you?
I'm well, George, and I'm glad to hear you breathing after that ninth inning in Atlanta.
So what do you remember about Turner trying to manage?
All right, my favorite story about that is he wore uniform number 17. So his jersey was Turner 17, which just happened to be the channel in the region that WTBS was on. And that's brilliant marketing on my part. I just think that's an amazing way to do things.
Now, when he signed Andy Messersmith as a free agent, didn't he offer to pay Messersmith a little extra if instead of on the back of his jersey where you would have Messersmith, it would be Channel?
He sure did. He sure did. Isn't that awesome? I mean, to me, guys like he and Charlie Finley were ahead of their time. You know, you hear people complaining about logos on hockey helmets and logos on jerseys, and these guys 40 years ago plus were doing really creative things. And you know what, I just look at it, we're entertainment, and if somebody thinks that works, hey, why not try it? What the heck.
So Danny, right now they've got Soroka on the DL and who knows for how long. Max Fried suddenly has gone on the DL with hamstring issues. To me, at least in the short term, they're in deep doo-doo.
Yeah, but George, you know what? If you look at Baseball Reference's prediction page, they still have Baseball Reference has the Braves as the overwhelming pick to win the East and make the postseason. So when you go through a baseball season, I think the fans need to know that, you know, our listeners have to realize this is a marathon. So nobody really knows who, you know, is ahead in mile four of the Boston Marathon. Everybody knows at 26.2. So I think they played 8 one-run games out of 13. That's the most in baseball. They're hitting about 220 as a team with a sub-300 OBP. April, it's tough to hit, George. The major league average right now is 235. And, you know, Albies isn't going to hit 160. Freeman's not going to hit 205. Ozuna's not going to hit 178. Riley's not hitting 211. And Swanson's not hitting 160. So this, for me, to hold off that fifth straight loss, get a W before they go to Chicago, was a very big win for them psyche-wise. Baseball players have very short memories. They have to. They're playing every day, and they've got to rebound and play. But I just look at the Braves right now, and I just think if they start to hit a little bit, all of this is going to go away. And the fact that they're not hitting, George, and they've got a couple of their best starters out, yet they're still okay. You know, they're not 1-10. They'll rebound. They'll play well. I still think they win the division. I think we all get a little caught up in these first couple of weeks of the season, and I am not concerned about them at all. I think they get in. They play well. I think the amazing thing today, George, was, you know, I know how closely you follow the game, and the game is a real, I think, a brain stumper at times. It gets really frustrating. And to have Freeman with that exceptional at bat, I think it was a 10-pitch walk. And then Albies, after that first pitch, when he swung at a ball out of the zone, to work a walk against a guy whose command is really good. Floro's one of the best command guys in the game. But you know what? They battled. And to me, a team that's struggling like they are, that's the perfect ninth-inning failure. I mean, that's when you struggle, you go out of the zone, You get out of your shoes, you swing hard. They were actually really patient, and as a result, they won the ball game. So I think good signs from today's ball game.
Okay, let me try this one. As somebody who keeps up with them really close, my gut feeling is that they have left themselves a Mark Melancon short in their bullpen. What do you say to that?
Yeah, and I think you always are. You know, this time of the year, one of the most amazing things that I experienced in my career is after you play for a few weeks, you come off your spring training high where you think you're pretty darn good, and you start to see the flaws of your club. And I think for most of the better teams, you know, there's very few exceptions. I would say, you know, the Dodgers are one of them. But most teams right now are looking at their bullpen, and they're going, wow, we wish we were a little better in that area. And I think, you know, the advantage the Braves have is they've got a guy in Alex Anthopoulos who's not going to be afraid to pull the trigger and won't wait till July 30th to do it. He'll make a move to improve the club earlier. I do think it's a big deal, and I especially think it's a big deal, George, when your starting pitching isn't as deep as you'd like it to be. So you need to have some guys in the back of the bullpen who can win those close ball games. I mean, George, like I said earlier, they've played 8-1 run games already, and 1-run games are a crapshoot. I mean, they have really no indication about a team's success when the Tigers won 119 or lost 119 or 120 about 10 years ago. They actually had a plus 500 record in 1-run games. So I think, yes, I agree. I do believe they could use another pen arm, and I don't think that'll be a problem because you can always get those before the trade deadline.
Yeah. Okay, I'm coming totally out of left field with this one. United States Senator from Tennessee, Marsha Blackburn, and several colleagues have introduced a bill to remove the antitrust exemption that has been in place for Major League Baseball forever and ever. Danny, I don't want to get into the politics of why they're trying to do this, but for an audience that has no idea what that really means, the antitrust, I know you do. Talk me through that a little bit.
Well, it's obviously a revenge move, George. I mean, let's just put our cards on the table. That's because the Georgia legislature voted the way they did and changed some rules, and Major League Baseball effectively said, no, you're not doing that. We're going to remove the All-Star game. So for Senator Blackburn and for some of the other six or seven senators that have rallied on this, they're doing it in a retaliatory mode, which is never really the best strategy. In the case of the antitrust exemption, it has existed for an extended period for Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball has lobbyists, hardcore lobbyists in D.C., and there are some legal maneuverings that go on with the antitrust, but it allows Major League Baseball to operate outside the usual monopolistic rules within private business. And I think this is a result of this is a revenge move. I don't think it'll work. There's been numerous attempts through the years to try to overthrow that. But, you know, I look at it this way, George. The Democrats are in the majority in the Senate. This is not going to go through. And I think it's just a poor move on their part politically, because they're politicizing their own political move from a couple of months ago. And I think any time you snowball something, it just doesn't wear very well for the community.
Danny, let me ask this. I don't honestly know the answer. Do the NFL and the NBA have this? And if they don't, what does it allow baseball to do that football and basketball can't do?
You know, that's a great question, George. I do not specifically know exactly what the antitrust does. That is really a legal issue. But I can tell you that the NFL and the NBA and the NHL do not. They do not have that in place. So it's a result of, if I'm correct, it's a result of situations that occurred between the Federal League and I think it was the National League at the time. This is maybe 110 years ago, when the Federal League was trying to basically infiltrate Major League Baseball and steal their players. So effectively what it does is it limits some of the jurisdiction that I would say the real world has over private businesses. And I think baseball's had this exemption for more than 100 years. I remember, and this is just from my law days when I was studying at DePaul University, I know that Kurt Flood when he took it to the Supreme Court, I'd say maybe 50 years ago, 40 years ago, the Supreme Court somewhat reversed the provision of the antitrust regulation, but they refused to overturn it. And, you know, Kurt Flood took it to the commissioner and took it aggressively. Interestingly, George, Neil Gorsuch, who's a Colorado-based Supreme Court justice member, and a really good guy, by the way, I've met him a couple of times, he actually took this on years ago in a case that was on, I want to say, the Federal Circuit, and talked about it a little bit. But I got the feeling when I read that in a very quick manner that he was not in favor of overturning it.
Interesting. Danny, hang with us. We're going to go to the break, and then Watson and Jack will have some better questions for you following the break. Watson, let's tell people a little bit of Jody Jones dentistry.
Well, George, we're both so proud of Jody, and with all the community stuff going on at TSU right now, and new coaches at Vanderbilt, and it's just a neat time to be in Nashville in athletics. And Jody was an athlete, played at Vanderbilt, DCA, born, raised right here in Nashville, and it's just neat to watch him grow. And always wanted to be a dentist, as competitive as he is, and just made himself into the best. And then when he got there, he built this facility that they've been in about a year now, I think, maybe a little over that. That is, I've never seen anything like it. It's gorgeous. I just think he's the best dentist in town. And I know there's some prejudice there, but I tell you what, get the folks to go, give them the numbers, get the folks to go, and then call us and see if what I'm saying is not true. I think they would tell us that after they make a visit to Jody's place.
Good segue. If you'd like to make an appointment with Jody, it's simple. 615-259-5100. That new location that Watson's talking about, which is state-of-the-art, is 55 Music Square East. And if you need to learn more, simply go to jodyjonesdds.com. Watson and Jack will have questions for Danny Evans when we come back. You're listening to WNSR.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together. I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
DQ presents...
Picture this. Picture a DQ chicken and biscuits basket, all white meat chicken strips nestled next to crispy golden fries, and seven mini biscuits, fluffy, flaky mini biscuits that you can dunk in a side of warm pepper gravy. Then you leave the drive-thru and your favorite song comes on the radio. And all the streetlights turn green. This mini win calls for a mini celebration with the DQ chicken and biscuits basket. Or get it delivered at DQ.com. DQ. Happy tastes good.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Throughout the afternoon, sunny and 65. Partly cloudy overnight tonight. Lows drop to the low 40s. Friday, a partly sunny day. Temps in the mid-60s and 40% chance of showers late Friday night. Lows upper 40s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner. Sports Radio.
You're listening to The George Plaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
324, and before I turn it over to Watson Brown, Danny Evans did a little research during the commercial break. Danny, what'd you find out?
Well, George, I don't follow the other sports like I do the sport that's been really, really good to me. And the major sports, football, basketball, and baseball, all do have the antitrust legislation in place, and they have that because of the National Broadcast Act that occurred, I think, earlier this decade. So they all do, and it's for monopolistic reasons. You know, you have a venue, you have a territory, every team has that, and that's really the primary focus of the antitrust, so you can operate within a city and an entity and not have any concerns about somebody else coming in and playing in that place.
Watson, the floor is yours.
Danny, I got an off-the-field question first, and something I read today that concerned me. I saw where the CDC said that the vaccine would only last 6 months and that you would need another vaccine in 6 months' time. And then a year from now, they start giving it once a year for however long. But what concerns me is these people that got this vaccine in December, January, it's going to be coming back up again in June, July, right when baseball is rolling. And I wonder and worry, is that going to cut back the people in the stands? Because basically, it's the way I read it, you're not going to be vaccinated again. And if you don't get it, you're back to where you were in 6 months. Do you see it that way, and does that concern you?
Well, Watson, first of all, I don't want the listeners counting on my medical expertise, because that's a shaky one, but I've followed this very closely, and a really dear friend of mine has indicated to me that our COVID vaccinations will be much like a booster shot across the board that we already receive. We get our flu shots annually. We get, you know, various vaccinations on an annual or, you know, biannual basis. And we do it without blinking because we know that's part of the gig. I mean, I get a flu shot every year. And, you know, it's just like your pets get vaccinations. We're going to be in a situation as a society with all the variants and with the CDC and, you know, the world network of all the great medical people, they're going to come up with vaccinations that are effectively booster shots. And we shouldn't be alarmed by that. That's actually medicine really helping us, Watson. It's today's medicine being advanced enough to tackle the variants. And look where we are today. I mean, my gosh, it's April 15th. I never thought I would be double vaccinated. I never thought that I would be in the situation I'm in today 6 months ago, yet you know, a very large percentage of the population has already had their first, and many have had their second. I don't think it's as alarming as you know, I would think. And I think as a result, it's going to be pretty common where, you know, you go and you get your booster shot and you move forward. And I think we all do it, you know, knowingly for the flu and various other ailments. And why wouldn't you get it again?
Well, I was just saying, could there possibly be a pause? Because I think they really want you to have the vaccine to come. I can see that in a lot of things that I'm doing. One of the golf courses I play has come out and said, if they'll let you go back to two in a cart if you've had your vaccine. If you haven't, you have to be in a cart by yourself. I just wonder if that's going to get back into who they let in the stands, who they don't, as the biggest time of the year in baseball, the summer, comes to play. If 6 months is a time for us to go back and get another.
Yeah, what a great societal question for me, Watson. And first of all, I'm an Army golfer, Watson. I go left, right, left, right. I don't usually find that middle portion of the fairway, so you probably don't want to be in my golf cart anyway. But I think as a society, I think that's one of the really intriguing questions, because we're starting to get into more and more situations where we're mingling, and you don't know what the other people have in terms of their vaccination process. You don't know if they're anti-vaxxers. You don't know if they've been double vaccinated. You don't know if they're a denier. You really have no idea. And I think we're dealing with this, at least I am. I can say very honestly that I'm dealing with it on a daily basis, where I don't know what the people around me are practicing. I don't know where they are medically. And I think we all, I went to a Dodger Rockies game about 10 days ago, and I was funky as hell in the concourse, just, you know, wondering when I was walking to and from my seats where everybody was and what their situation was. Luckily, I was socially distanced, but, you know, it's a concern. And I think we're going to get more and more comfortable as the findings come out in the next couple of months. And baseball's got a real great pipeline. And in Fauci, we have a huge baseball fan in place. So he has been really great interacting along with the Biden administration with the Major League Baseball personnel.
On the field question, you were talking to George earlier, and let's take the Braves. They've got 149 games left. I mean, baseball, of all of the professional sports, is more of a marathon and less of a sprint. When is it do you get concerned, Danny? How deep into the season before you think about making moves, getting another pitcher here or there? I mean, where is the cutoff? Because that, to me, would be very hard for the guy making those decisions and the manager working together with him.
It sure is. And Watson, that's the hardest thing about the game, is to remove the emotion and the fan from your brain and look at the team objectively. And if you're one of the people who made decisions to put that team together, it's about evaluating your own evaluations and seeing whether or not your game plan, your, I would say, strategy is operating. I think for me, it starts at the 20-game mark. You see things three and four times through the rotation where you start to ascertain whether or not you're right or you're wrong. Bill James did a fabulous study about 25 years ago about the first 20 games of a season and how they're truly indicative about a team. So I think it first starts at the 20-game mark. I find, Watson, that right around the time of the draft, late May, early June in the past, has been a period where I have become far more objective. I'll tell you guys a quick story. Early in my career, I had a challenge from one of my superiors that everybody was supposed to write down their one loss record before the season started for our club. I did that every season the rest of my career. And the reason I did it is I knew I was accountable internally, and I was young. I was like 22 years old. From that point forward, I have never been more than three games off the team that I worked for. And I think what it does, I mean, Watson, you know, you went into seasons where you were optimistic, but you were also pragmatic and realistic. You knew where your soft underbelly is. Sometimes you can rectify that. Sometimes guys play better, but sometimes they play worse. Sometimes there's injuries. And I think the challenge that I tell my students all the time in my online class, the biggest challenge a general manager and his top staff have is being adaptable and seeing the road in front of them pragmatically and not with a fan set of lenses. And I think that's why, you know, I see the Braves and I go, they're going to be fine. You know, yes, they're 5-8, but their 5-8 is going to be pretty good at the end. And like you said, they've only played, you know, 13 games. And that's the wrestling match that every club operator has at this time of the year. Where are we? So I'll give you a little hint what I used to do. I would have some of our top scouts see our club on a rotating basis, and they otherwise would not see our club play. So for about a 30-year period, I would get about every 10 days a new feel from somebody who, yes, working for the club, but very objective. And it really helped keep me grounded.
My last thing kind of ties to that, Dane. I'll give you to Jack. I said this to George the other day, and, you know, I said, I'm not so sure that the Braves aren't being in a really strong division, and it is. It's a top to bottom, maybe the strongest. The Dodgers, the Padres in that other division, of course, and then the Giants are playing well. But in the division the Braves are in, Danny, I'm not sure it doesn't help them if they're getting off to a slow start, because nobody is going to pull away from anybody. And because it's so balanced here, I think the Braves get away with getting off to a slow start and are not going to get that far behind.
Watson, that's a great point. And I think it's also going to hurt the National League East clubs for that second wild card team, because they're going to beat the heck out of each other over the next 6 months. I mean, when you play teams 19 times in your division, you know, that's a lot of baseball. And I think the problem they've got, along with the other Eastern clubs, is there isn't an easy team in that division. So it's not like when the Dodgers or the Padres go to play the Rockies, or when the Central teams go to play the Pirates. You know you're walking into a tough series, whichever one of your four opponents are. So if they can just hold serve, be around 500 in this early stage, they're going to be fine. And you know, luckily, they're going to Chicago right now, and they're having more offensive woes than the Braves. So, you know, my guess, what happens, it's an offensive slugfest this weekend. Always happens in baseball when both teams are scuffling. But I think their schedule might work in their favor, and by next Thursday, they may be right around 500.
Mm. I agree with you.
Let's do this. We'll go to the break first at 3:36, a couple of minutes early. Then, Jack, you're in the on-deck circle. Get ready with Danny Evans as we talk Major League Baseball during this 3 o'clock hour. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
Introducing new Kraft sandwiches at Slim Chickens. Try our Chicken Club sandwich with crispy bacon and cheese, the Cayenne Ranch sandwich with fried onions and Cayenne Ranch mayo, the Buffalo Ranch sandwich that's tossed in spicy buffalo sauce, or the crispy chicken sandwich, which is anything but basic. Slim's lineup of four Kraft sandwiches. The choice is yours. Whether you're driving through, ordering online, or pulling up curbside, Slim's has you covered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
Hold on, who is that person?
That was me. Open the bag of Cheetos.
Terry, how long have you been on radio in this market? At what moment do you think when you're doing a live bid, it's okay to open Cheetos on the air?
What in the hell?
Live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports Radio. WNSR.
3:40, we got on a little late today, but that's okay because the Braves rallied in the bottom of the ninth with two and salvaged one game in a four-game series with the Marlins. 7-6 was the final. Danny Evans is alongside talking baseball for the 3 o'clock hour. Jack, what do you got for him?
Hey, Danny. Good to talk to you as always.
What's up, Jack?
You and Watson were talking about kind of how it's far too early in the season. I mean, not having even 10% of the season completed to really make a determination on where you are as a team. It's kind of like a relationship where you don't want the "what are we" question too early, because then that could dissolve things and so on and so forth. But with that being said, it seems like there's a trend, at least in April, in the MLB, and that is swings and misses. There's been a ton of swinging and missing in the MLB so far. Two no-hitters have been a side effect of that. One coming last night from Rodon of the White Sox. Musgrove got one in San Diego as well. Is that something you've been noticing, just a lot of whiffs?
Yeah, a lot of whiffs. And April usually, Jack, is the worst offensive month that a team has. You know, the triple slash right now and the big leagues is 235, 315, and 372. You know, those would all be almost all-time lows. So that is, you know, an indication of how volatile April can be. Another thing to remember, Jack, and I think this is a really tough thing for the casual fan to grasp sometime. I know you're certainly not that, but for our listeners, remember that you're skipping fifth starters right now. So you're seeing people, you're seeing their 1-4s as often as possible. You're also not getting to hit quite as often in many cities. Batting practice is canceled because of inclement weather. And as a result, you're not outside a whole lot. And for any of us who have played, the worst thing in the world is to play in cold weather. It just doesn't feel good. And I think with the technology we have today, we're attacking hitters more than ever. You know, the Braves came into today's game with a 219 batting average. They're not going to hit 219. It's not going to happen. And baseball's not going to hit at 235. They're going to hit another 10 to 15 points higher. So I think what we'll see is we'll see improvement. It's usually about the second week of May where guys start to erupt. I mean, we can't all be Acuna, you know, who is off to an absolutely unbelievable start. But I think it's one of those things that the runs per game and the strikeouts are going in the wrong direction right now. But, Jack, strikeouts for the last 8 or 9 years have set an all-time record on an annual basis. So I think we're going to continue to strike out at a rate we've never struck out at before, but it's not going to be quite as alarming as it is today.
Man, and I think that has a lot to do with some of the pitching. You know, 10 years ago, you'd be lucky to see 101 miles an hour, you know, in a series. Now you see it, you know, once, twice a game for some of these teams. So I think the pitching has a big part to do with that. Don't you agree?
Yes, I do. And the scouting expertise is at an all-time high. Combining analytics with individual scouting, I think it's tougher to hit than ever before.
From behind the plate, I want to go to Yadier Molina. He just caught his 2,000th game with the St. Louis Cardinals, the only catcher of all time to catch 2,000 games with one single team. There's still a discussion, which kind of annoys me, Danny, and I think you might be on the same page as me here. Is Yadier Molina a Hall of Famer? For me, I don't think you could tell the story of Major League Baseball without Yadier Molina being mentioned. How do you feel about this?
Well, that's a really good question, and I delve into that once in a while. I'm a big Hall of Fame buff, so I tend to look at it probably a little closer than most people because I just am kind of obsessed by the Hall of Fame. You know, there's so few people in it, and I just find it fascinating. But for me, Molina doesn't wow you statistically with his career numbers. I mean, he's a 282 career hitter. He's a guy who's been right around average offensively throughout his career. And I think subsequently, his stats offensively aren't going to get him the consideration. You know, he's never been a big power guy. He's never been a high batting average guy. He's a grinder, and he's an exceptional catcher. But we don't measure catching as well as we measure other positions. I think this is going to be a matter of his Gold Gloves, which I think he's won 9. It's going to be a factor of him having all those postseasons. But I think when you look at him from a comparison standpoint, you know, it's funny, Jack. I just did this a couple weeks ago. I was just browsing. He's just kind of average among Hall of Famers. He's not, you know, he's clearly not a Bench or a Carter. He's not a Piazza with the offensive skills those guys had. And as a result, he's not going to get in there in the first ballot. He's not that guy. I think it's really surprising when you see him in comparison to his peers. For example, Buster Posey is a better candidate for the Hall of Fame than Yadier Molina. And I think there's a lot of guys like Molina, like Bill Freehan is a guy, Jorge Posada is a guy that had really good careers, Lance Parrish, and they're all kind of hovering around 55, 56 WAR, and Molina entering this year was right around 40. So it's going to be a tough case. The game's not real kind to catchers. There's only 16 catchers in the Hall of Fame. That's it. So I think as a result, we're going to have a tough time seeing him get in right away. I think he may be one of those guys that is on the ballot for a number of years.
Wow, that is interesting. 16 catchers in the history of baseball. That is stunning.
That is it.
So turning,
and you know, the shocking part of it too, Jack, is their shelf life is so short. It's the shortest shelf life of any position, so their productivity dwindles as they age, and by the time they're 34, 35 years old, you know, they're just not as good an offensive player as they used to be. So they don't get that offensive edge that guys getting 600 plate appearances playing another position get. And I really think, you know, that you'd be surprised if you saw Molina in comparison to some of the really great catchers of the modern era. He doesn't fare as well as you would think.
That's interesting. Often, I guess you could describe the catcher position as, you know, kind of like the running back in the NFL. They're often underappreciated and undervalued. And I guess when it's time to decide, you know, who gets into the Hall, which is in baseball a very, very exclusive category and group of individuals, that decision gets a little tougher. But I want to turn our attention to the AL.
Jack, if I could just say one thing, he's an elite leader, an elite pitch caller. And I think with today's voters, I think in 10 years or, you know, when they're going to be voting for him, they're going to recognize his longevity, his durability, and his game skills behind the plate. And I think it's going to help him considerably.
Yeah, I'm with you. The three division leaders in the American League right now are, let's be honest, just three teams that I don't think a lot of people saw even making the playoffs this season. You're looking at the Royals in the Central, the Red Sox in the East, who are 9-3 out of nowhere. They lost today just a few moments ago, so they dropped to 9-4. And then the Angels. Which of those three teams has the best chance to stay where they are?
I would say the Red Sox followed by the Angels. I think the Angels are going to be a sleeper team. Ohtani's off to an unbelievable start and is showing all the signs of greatness that I really thought were going to come in the big leagues with health. You know, I know it's easy to pick on Alex Cora. I'm an Alex Cora fan. I'm an Alex Cora supporter. I've known him since he was about 12 years old. I'm not jumping off his bandwagon. He paid the price significantly. He is a great leader. I mean, a great leader. And I think what you're going to see is them overachieve a little bit this year. And I think that division is not as good as a lot of people talked up. The Yankees are going to be a really good club. And the Rays will be good but not great. I think the Blue Jays are overrated, and I think the Orioles are horrible. So I think the Red Sox will hold their own, and I think they're going to compete for a wild card spot, if not a division title. I don't think they're as good as the Yanks, but I think they're better than people gave them credit for. And look out for the Royals when they get it together, because they have great character, and a team like that in that division that could be a sleeper team as the year moves forward.
Yeah, the Central just looks like a five-way toss-up to me right now. It's still early, and that'll figure itself out. But speaking of bandwagons, Danny, the Cincinnati Reds, who I boarded just last week, have since lost 4 out of 5. What's going on?
I think we jinxed them last Thursday. You know, I'm still waiting from that phone call from one of the Reds people saying, just when George asked that question, just crush us. We don't want to sound like we're pretty good. They're going to be a good club. You know, and this is part of the thing, Jack, that goes on. You know, they went into good pitching. Cueto threw really well. You know, they're playing a good San Francisco team right now. It doesn't mean they're not good. It just means after, you know, about 10 to 15 games, that they're a little better than anyone anticipated. And I think, you know, this is one of those things that you're going to go through periods where if you're a slightly above or a slightly below average team or a mediocre club, you're going to have periods where you lose 3-5, win 3-5. The bad clubs, they lose a lot of those periods. Good teams have a lot of the winning periods. I mean, look where the Marlins were 10 days ago. And the Marlins are back, you know, they're back where they should be. I think this is going to be it's going to be interesting to see how teams emerge from the month of April. Because frequently in my career, I've always felt, and I know I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, the teams that say, oh, no, it's early, don't worry about it, they're having sleepless nights because it's not too early and they know it. But if for some reason in baseball, nobody likes to say, yes, I'm concerned. I think there's clubs that should be greatly concerned. But there's other teams that recognize, hey, you know what? We're going to be all right. We're going to get through this period. the advantage, and Watson alluded to it earlier, it's a marathon. So the fact that you get out to a bad start does not mean you continue to play poorly.
Danny, listen closely.
Glorious. No, I will give in.
You got a tiger by the tail, Danny. Go Preds.
Yeah, Georgie, I'm a big Carolina fan this week.
I know.
And I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to those three games between our two favorite hockey teams that I think starts, if I'm right, on Sunday. So
Monday. Monday here.
That's right. It's moved forward. So I know three games in 5 days. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I think it's going to have a lot to do with the final playoff spot in the Central.
Thank you, as always. We'll talk next week.
Great. I'm happy to hear you breathing again, George. This is great.
Amen. Go Braves.
See you guys.
Okay. Bye-bye. We'll wrap up hour number one, as is the case today, when we come back.
My medical bills.
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What it relates.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 0042. That's 800-668-0042.
It's time to say see you later, alligator, to embarrassing and troublesome issues with your skin, nails, and hair with all-natural Cayman alligator oil. Cayman oil is locally made, right in Louisiana, where people have been using alligator oil for centuries to treat all kinds of ailments. A drop a day of Cayman oil can help you say see you later, alligator, to athlete's foot, nail fungus, acne, eczema, rashes, dry skin, cuts, infections, MRSA, scars, burns, sunburns, and even ingrown hair and dandruff. If you or someone you know is tired of suffering with any of these skin, nail, and hair troubles, you need to visit mycayman.com to learn more about 100% natural, non-toxic, hypoallergenic Cayman oil and get a bottle today. Say see you later, alligator, with Cayman alligator oil at mycayman.com. That's my CAIMON.com. MyCayman.com.
My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR Skyscan forecast. Throughout the afternoon, sunny and 65. Partly cloudy overnight tonight. Lows drop to the low 40s. Friday, a partly sunny day. Temps in the mid-60s and 40% chance of showers late Friday night. Lows upper 40s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Got about a minute left in the hour. Watson, I was the MC earlier today at the Metro Nashville Public Schools Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony. We're going to learn a little bit more about it when we start the 4 o'clock hour. The late great Farrell Owens was one of the honorees today, and I was happy about that.
Oh, great guy, great friend for both of us, George, through all the years. I played baseball in a baseball league when I was a sophomore with Farrell, in a really good baseball league, and he was a really good player, but a really good guy.
Yeah. I know you'll join us again on Monday, and correct?
I sure will.
Okay. You do your best.
I sure will, and my wife and I are going to have a long weekend, and we know what Monday is, George. I turned 51.
Do you really?
Yeah, 51 on Monday.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have a little birthday surprise for your 51st birthday. If you all believe that, I got some land in Florida.
Birthday present must be a DeLorean.
It might be. Watson, behave until then.
I will, buddy. See you Monday.
Terry McCormick's going to join us during the 4 o'clock hour. And we're going to learn more about the Metro Nashville Public Schools Sports Hall of Fame when we start the 4 o'clock hour here on WNSR.
WPDQ Transparo. On air and online, sports radio,
WNSR, Brentwood, Nashville. ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. Former Brooklyn Center police officer Kim Potter appearing via Zoom for her first court appearance, charged in the shooting death of Dante Wright. The 20-year-old's family says the manslaughter charge is just a start.
Justice? What is justice? Do we get to see Dante smile? We don't get to see that. Do we get to hear Dante joke again? We don't get to hear that.
Testimony is complete in the Derek Chauvin murder trial. Closing arguments are on Monday. President Biden on the Senate voting to advance legislation to strengthen efforts against hate crimes directed at Asian Americans.
Kamala and I are heartened by the Senate's overwhelming bipartisan effort yesterday.
The Biden administration announcing the U.S. is expelling 10 Russian diplomats and imposing sanctions against dozens of companies and people, in part for Russian interference in last year's presidential election. This is ABC News.
Deep down, you knew it was coming, and you know there's nothing you can do to stop it. And now, it's here.
Tax the Kitten!
Federal debt now exceeds the size of the entire economy, and Congress continues to spend like drunken sailors. Taxes are going up, and your retirement savings are going to be taxed to smithereens. But there's one proven time-tested strategy that lets you legally pay zero taxes on your hard-earned retirement money. And you can learn all about it in a free report from Bank on Yourself. Get it now at legallypayzerotax.com. This strategy also grows your wealth safely and predictably every year, even when the market tanks. And it gives you penalty-free access to your savings. Yes, you can protect your money from the next stock market crash and from
Taxmageddon.
To get this free report and save your retirement, visit legallypayzerotax.com today. That's legallypayzerotax.com. LegallyPayZeroTax.com.
You pledged your life to serve, to make our country stronger, safer, more free, more equal. You worked tirelessly, made sacrifices, missed first steps and birthdays, lost loved ones. At VA, we don't see the setbacks endured. We see lessons applied and passion driving you upward and forward. We don't see all the masks you wear, but we hope you can set some aside. We embrace your uniqueness and won't trivialize your past, your fears, or your hardships. We can't promise to heal all wounds or wash away all trauma, but we do see hope. a path forward, a future. We see all veterans. We see you. An opportunity to help you achieve a new mission, whatever that may be. Learn how treatment works and recovery is possible. Visit MakeTheConnection.net.
Bob's Steak and Chop House, located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. Bob's Steak and Chop House offers the classic steakhouse experience. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 10 p.m. And they've got complimentary valet parking available. Bob's Steak and Chop House, located 5th Avenue downtown at the Omni Nashville Hotel.
From the Nashville Sports Radio Media Complex. Welcome back to the George Plaster Show. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, George Plaster.
And we welcome all of you into the 4 o'clock hour. If you're curious, we came on a little bit late today because the Braves had a long game against the Marlins, rallied with two in the bottom of the ninth inning, and won 7-6, which makes me a happy camper because they have been getting stomped by the Marlins. They took one out of four, which is not good enough, but nonetheless, take the wins as you can get them. Earlier today, it was really an honor to be asked to MC the Metropolitan Nashville Public Schools Sports Hall of Fame ceremony. I've asked two people to join us to talk a little bit about that. Monet Fletcher is the chairperson of the event. Wayne Parker was one of the folks who was inducted today, class of 1966, Lytton High School. Let me start with Wayne, who is on the line with us. Wayne, you pretty much put this event together about 16 years ago. Talk to me about what your vision was for it.
Well, thank you, George, and thank you for being there with us today, and we really appreciate it. But, yeah, in 2004, I was hired as the assistant athletic director with Scott Burnett, and we needed a Hall of Fame, and we hadn't had one. So I did some research, and I was able to get some really good people together on my committee to put it together. And it was a struggle at first, but we got it together, and in 2005 brought in the first class, which was 16 people, and that was more than we really wanted for any class. But for the first year, with all the great athletes in Davidson County through the years, we had to put 16 in. So we came up with the medal and the program, but the vision was just to recognize these great athletes that went to Metro schools, the Old City School and Old County schools in Davidson County.
Boy, as I look through the program that you all put together today, Wayne, it's a who's who of people that are in there. I see former Mayor Fulton. I see Larry Schmitto, Mike Jackson, who was a great former Tennessee Vol from Stratford. I mean, the list here, it is truly a who's who.
Oh, it's tremendous. I mean, you start with Edgar Allen, Johnny Beasley, and Charles Davis, and Wayne Garland, and Junior Gillum, and Henry Allen Kimbrough, and Admiral Lawrence. I mean, and Theodore McLean, and Bob Montgomery, and Charles Murphy, and Bonnie Sloan. I mean, it just goes on and on. And the thing of it's just a lot of people from Davidson County that people just don't know about. But that was the main thing, is having a program, and we just keep adding it to it every year, which becomes a book. And now after 16 years, there's a lot of great people in there.
I mentioned that Monet Fletcher was the chairperson of today's event, and she joins us by phone as well. Monet, you had a tough job because you were trying to fill 2 years because of COVID and get it all in today.
Yes, and that happened to be, it was a challenge because we were not able to have our ceremony last year and to try and double up this year so we wouldn't have to wait another year, you know, but we got it done. And we thank you for being there too.
Oh, it was an honor. Yeah. Listen, it was an honor to be asked to do it. Is there a criteria when you go to the committee and say, okay, this year, here's the criteria, or is it just simply, you know, if they're deemed worthy, you put them in?
Well, there is a criteria, and we're always accepting names, and we have an ongoing list that we also work from, but the criteria is you have to have been a part of a MNPS school, a Nashville City School, a Davidson County School, 10 years after graduating from one of these schools, highest level of athletic career and honors, the honoree's character, community involvement, the dedication to athletics, and they must have finished their athletic career or college or professional. So we toss out the names and we discuss them and we go back and forth until we come up with a good number.
The group that went in today includes Derica Baker Dunn from Glencliff High School, a great coach in Ben Jobe. Farrell Owens, a wonderful friend. I claim Farrell is the only person I know who loves baseball more than I do. Wayne Parker, who's on the line with us. Dan Eskew. Walter Fisher, who had a great quote. This is fabulous. You may not know my name when I walk in your place, but you will know my name when I walk out of your place. How good was that, Wayne?
I sit at the table with him, man. That is great, and it was an honor to sit with him because I happened to be in the gym at Vanderbilt when he was playing in the state tournament and watched him play, and that team was just unbelievable to watch. And then, of course, they broke the gold the first time they had the ball, bent the gold, and had to come out and repair it. But that's a great quote for him.
He was part of that great Pearl High School almost dynasty that Perry Wallace was a part of. Larry House from Glencliff High School, Sandra McMurtry from DuPont, Mose Phillips, who was an absolute hoss at Hillsboro. I covered some of his games when he was in high school. The great Doc Shelton, class of 77 from Hume Fogg High School, Butch Stinson, as good a pitcher as this city has ever turned out, from Lipscomb University, Lipscomb College at the time, Sean Waller from Hunters Lane High School. Monet, it was really a good group you all put together.
Well, thank you very much.
So, Wayne, how do y'all top it a year from now?
Well, I don't know how they will, but there's always somebody that you do not know about that has a great career. And of course, you're either a coach, an athlete, or contributor, or administrator, and which I was checking in on. It's just going to be it's hard, but it's also fun, isn't it, Monet?
It is, because you know a lot of the people here I have not known except through doing this. And I've gotten to meet a lot of excellent human beings. And I enjoy being on this committee. And we're just going to keep doing it as long as we can.
Well, I thank both of you for taking the time to come on and talk a little bit about it. Monet, first of all, thank you for thinking of me as far as emceeing it. I had a blast doing it. And Wayne, as somebody who's been a friend of mine for a long time, congratulations not only on helping put this together, but being inducted today as well.
Well, thank you, George.
Thank you, George, for accepting this honor to be the MC, and we really appreciate you reading them. And it's always good to see you, and I know you were able to see a lot of people that you hadn't seen in a long time also.
Oh, it was wonderful. Listen, thank you both. Appreciate it.
Thank you
for having us.
See you, Wayne. See you, Monet.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. See you, George.
Monet Fletcher, the chairperson of the event today, which is the Metropolitan Nashville Public Schools Sports Hall of Fame, and Wayne Parker, who created the event 16 years ago and now gets in, which is pretty cool. It was neat. What's the signal there? I'm getting a lot of different signals.
I was letting you know Terry dropped off.
Oh, okay. I got you. Well, he's out in who knows where.
Red Boiling Springs was the last I talked to him. They just got a tower this week. So
he comes by it honestly.
Yeah.
So, Jack, let's do this. We've got three lines open. Phones have been a little slow this week. I've been disappointed. I don't want to be disappointed anymore.
It shouldn't be today. There's a big game going
on
tonight.
A lot.
Between the Hurricanes and the Predators.
That is true.
A huge game. I mean, Predators won 13 out of 16. They're only 4 points clear of the Blackhawks, and the Blackhawks have a game in hand.
Yes.
So
don't we know?
You would really like to kind of stretch out that lead as much as possible before the Hawks come in town on Monday.
I would take one out of two and never play it.
I think I'm
in
with
Carolina.
But hey, now's not the time to play scared.
You know? I know, but I would take
how hot they are.
I would take one out of two without playing it. Okay. I got three lines open, and I want some red-blooded Americans who want to talk some sports to jump in. You pick the topic. We'll yap about it. 844-5600 is the number. Do I hear some red-blooded Americans ready and raring to go? Not yet. Did you see Luka last night?
Oh, my gosh. That stunk for the Grizzlies, but that was incredible.
Where exactly? So that win gets Dallas a step closer to getting out of that 7, 8, 9, 10 thing.
Yes, it does. And interestingly enough, you've heard Luka and Mark Cuban, the owner of the Mavericks, both speak out against this rule, but it's kind of ironic because Mark Cuban voted for this rule before the season. It was a big part of having the 7, 8, 9, 10. And the 9 and 10 play each other. The loser of the 7-8 plays the winner of the 9 and 10 for that last playoff spot. They brought it in to kind of add some drama, add some flair to the end of the regular season, and kind of get everybody ready for the playoffs. It's kind of like an appetizer before you get into the real thing. The Mavericks are a team that would like to avoid that game as much as possible, and it's really going to be interesting out in the West because the best team isn't going to be the one seed. You know, the Lakers, the team that a bunch of people are picking to win it all.
They'll be, what, a 4 or 5 because of all the injuries?
4 or 5, and they may play a Nuggets team who just lost Jamal Murray for the season.
Right, which is to their advantage if they get Denver.
Yeah, it's a shame, though, because he was one of the more fun players to watch in that bubble last year.
So if you had to handicap Preds, Grizzlies, who has a better chance to really get in the playoffs? I'm not talking about the play-in game. I'm talking about the top eight. NHL doesn't have play-in. NBA does. What do you think?
I would give it to the Predators. I would.
But
not by much, because the Grizzlies are the eight seed right now. But they're only a game ahead of the Warriors with a blazing hot Steph Curry.
God, no kidding.
And the Spurs with Popovich, and you can never really count them out. The Pelicans have also had a nice year. They're 2 games behind the Grizzlies. But for the Predators, if you just stave off the Blackhawks, that might just be enough because Radulov and Ben Bishop were just ruled out for the season for the Stars. So they're kind of in the process of bringing that arm up with that white towel in it. They haven't started waving it yet, but the towel is in hand.
Are you aware we buried Columbus yesterday?
Yes.
We had a little ceremony.
Yeah. They fell off hard, didn't they?
Ooh.
You bring in Patrick Laine.
We're going to need them to beat somebody when it matters. For instance, tonight, Chicago gets Detroit, or as Crispy calls them, Detroit. I don't know why he calls them that, but he does. This is where the Predators need another piece of luck, and that is a last-place Detroit, which has been playing people pretty competitively, to just flat-out knock off the Blackhawks. They got a huge break two nights ago when Tampa elected to play me as their goaltender. Curtis McElhaney wasn't he wasn't worth a hoot.
Human Swiss cheese.
Oh, my God, there were more holes in that game. The Predators at one point had 9 shots on goal and 4 goals. That's not real effective goaltending.
No, I think it ended up being like 21 or 22 shots on goal, and there were 5 or 6 on the board. But
meanwhile, Vasilevsky is the best out there. Yeah. He's as good as it gets.
But UC Saros is getting hot at the right time.
I love it.
That's all it takes in the playoffs. You get a hot goaltender, and you get some forwards that have built some confidence up coming into the playoffs, and all of a sudden you can be a big danger to anybody. And you know, tonight'll be a good litmus test to see where they are, because the Predators are probably that 3 seed's out of reach. They're set. It's 4-0. And this would be a good little litmus test, I think, for Poyle or John Hines and his group to figure out where they stand with the playoffs just a couple weeks away.
Here's the kind of thing I'm looking at right now. Obviously, I'm a big fan, and I want to see this team get in. A month and a half ago, Tampa Bay absolutely dismantled the Predators here. It was embarrassing, to the tune of 7-1. And I walked out that night really disillusioned by what they were and was about to bury them. Last weekend, they played twice. They played Saturday and they played Tuesday. And to be honest, the Saturday loss for me was every bit as impressive. They absolutely unloaded the kitchen sink on Tampa, and only Vasilevsky's brilliance got them a 3-0 win. I was like, if they'll play this way against Dallas the next night, they'll win. Turns out if they play that way Tuesday night against Tampa, they'd bury them. Carolina's another one they've had very little success with. I want to see how they stack up tonight with Carolina, because ultimately, this is the kind of thing that they're going to face in the opening round. Who knows which one of the three it's going to be, but that's the kind of thing they're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, the win against Tampa Bay, huge for the Predators' confidence. There's a bit of a narrative going around while the Preds had gotten hot.
They
can't beat the top guys, the big dogs, the Tampa Bays, the Carolinas, even the Floridas. But they got a chance this week, and this week got started on the right foot with a win against Tampa. I won't be upset with a close loss to Carolina, but I need to see the Preds go toe-to-toe with some of these teams that they're going to be facing in the playoffs if they are to lock up that 4 seed.
And the issue is it's 2 games on the road. And how in the world do they come up with 2 points? My magic formula here is get me 2 points in these 2 games. I don't care if it's 2 overtime losses. Get me 2 points. This is how you continue to stave off the Blackhawks. And, oh, by the way, if Detroit would help it a little bit, so much the better.
Mm-hmm. Can't count on Detroit, though. So, yeah, 2 points out of this road trip, that's a big success. Or a success, not a big success.
However, if they get them tonight, I'll get greedy.
Yeah, no question.
We'll go to the break at 4:22. You all have apparently been put in a coma. Nobody's calling. I'm very disappointed. Where are you? 844-5600 is the number. I expect your phone calls when we come back. You're listening to WNSR.
Good afternoon. Building off the South Loop here, right on schedule on 65, making your way down through Brentwood, has picked up. There's a crash with injuries just dispatched through the fire department at Murfreesboro Pike and Mountain View Road. Watch out in that area. Still trying to finish that crash. Highway 70 at OHB. Yes, it's picked up 65 up towards Vietnam Vets. Prince's Hot Chicken is now hiring inside the Assembly Food Hall, which is near the National Museum of African American Music on Broadway. If you're looking for a job with Prince's Hot Chicken, call 615-478-1171. I'm Fanny Chuck with your on-time traffic.
They wait for a ship unlike any other. Mercy Ships, a floating hospital staffed by volunteers, heroes of mercy who donate their time to save lives.
Every human has the right to have a place at the table of the human race.
If you could just see the smiles that you get when lives have been changed, then it would make it all worth it.
To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org.
Hey, this is George Plaster to talk to you about the folks at Shield Law Group. My guess is that some of you are like I have been at some point. You've got debt, and that's holding you back. Maybe you're ready to get back on the right track, buy a house, a car. In general, put bad financial decisions aside. And that's where these folks can really help you. They're local. They're accessible. When you need them, they'll be there for you. And they'll give you a free assessment. The beauty of Shield Law Group, they have a way of negotiating settlements that potentially could save you thousands of dollars and improve your credit rating. And 30 years of experience means they can probably help you. So give them a holler at 615-742-8020. That's 615-742-8020. And ask for my friend, Bill Kaloudis.
And now, Absolute Contracting Plus, LLC, our premier full-service exterior expert, is reminding Americans to show support to the brave men and women who serve our U.S. military. This message is from Absolute Contracting Plus, LLC, backed by over 20 years of experience and an A-plus rating on the BBB. For residential or commercial, roofing, siding, or gutters, call today at 615-788-5031 and online at AbsoluteContractingPlus.com. Absolute Contracting Plus, LLC, proudly saluting our troops and veterans.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Throughout the afternoon, sunny and 65. Partly cloudy overnight tonight. Lows drop to the low 40s. Friday, a partly sunny day. Temps in the mid-60s and 40% chance of showers late Friday night. Lows upper 40s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner. Sports Radio.
This is the George Plaster Show. Call now, 844-5600 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
425, we are one call short of a sellout. We're going to go to the phones here in just a second. I want to get the third call, though. I love sellouts. Not a COVID sellout, but a real one. 844-5600, if you've got something on your mind that you want to talk about. George Plaster, Jack Gentry, who knows where Terry McCormick is. He's out in the boondocks somewhere.
He's in a place that makes him miss Westmoreland.
Wow.
Yeah, that tells you something.
Dennis and Gallatin, you are the leadoff hitter, and welcome.
The pressure's on. Hey, George.
Let's hear it.
I didn't know you were back on the radio. I just found out yesterday.
Well, you know what?
I'm out of touch.
Well, apparently so am I.
Well, I'm your number one fan, so I'm glad you're back. It's not that I didn't like the guys on the other stations that followed you, but I just felt like I always knew more about sports when I listened to your show. But anyway, I'm a Brewer fan, and the Brewers are for real. Their pitching is unbelievable. And I want to know how they've been using Orlando Arcia, the Braves, because he was one of my favorite Brewer players. I hated to see him go.
First of all, why did they get rid of him?
Because they had so many outfielders, and they needed to make room.
The reason I'm asking that, he got my attention a couple of years ago. I went down to see a Braves-Brewers game, and he hit a home run in the 10th inning that beat him. And so I've always noticed him since then. I was shocked when he was available. I'm trying to look at Atlanta's roster at this moment to see if he's even on there.
He's not always the greatest hitter. He's an unbelievable shortstop, but he's clutch. He'll always deliver when the pressure's on. And he's a great dugout guy. Everybody loves him. He's all smiles. I just hate to see him go.
So,
but anyway, I'm glad you're back on the air, George.
Thank you. Tell me a little bit about the Brew Crew right now. They're off to a halfway decent start. Do they have the staying power?
It seems like it. Corbin Burns, their pitcher, has pitched 30 innings with no walks, I think 18 strikeouts, two earned runs, and he drove in two runs in the last game.
And he can bring it.
Yeah, he's great. And they got Josh Hader in the bullpen. He's throwing up close to 100 miles an hour and lots of control. Strikes people out like crazy. I'm really looking forward to this year.
Well, you should be, because that's a division where, let's say, 86 wins. That might have you there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, George, I'm really glad I'll be listening every day.
Dennis, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yep, you have a good day.
I need him every day.
Yeah. Arcia hasn't really got to play much.
Is he on their active roster right now?
You know what? If he is, I wouldn't know, because I don't think he's taking that bat as a Brave. They've been playing Adrianza, who's stepped up in big moments for them. So, I mean, and Pablo Sandoval, this resurgence was unforeseen.
Well, the thing about him, if he ever makes contact, he's massive.
Oh, yeah. It's going out of the ballpark.
He is an absolute truck. Weight Watchers, he's not a part of that.
No, he's not going to be the most fit guy in the locker room.
No.
You lay out a buffet, you better be before Pablo.
You better somehow
hightail it on down to the hotel lobby.
Might want to box him out a little bit. Eric in Nashville, you are up next at 4:30.
Hey, George, before I get to what I want to talk about, yeah, I don't know if you heard about this, the hat on Jeopardy the other day, because you usually have 5 and Jeopardy comes on 5. I don't watch it every day with Aaron Rodgers, but I catch it when I can. But I didn't see it that particular day, but I saw the highlights of it. I don't know if you heard about what happened. He was doing a category. This was in the first round of Jeopardy, and they were doing, I think it was like sports dynasties, and a category came up. It said Midwestern NFL team that dominated and won first two Super Bowls. Nobody rung in, and then he stuck out his hands after the buzzer went off and said, hey, who are the Green Bay Packers? And then the next question came up, and it says, Northeastern NBA team that won NBA championship from the late 50s through the 60s, and the guy quickly rang in and said the Boston Celtics, and then Aaron Rodgers says, you would get that one.
Wow.
That was pretty funny.
Eric, let me ask you this. He wants to permanently host that, doesn't he?
I don't know. I think he could be, although I did hear, I don't know if you heard about this, that there was a huge writing campaign actually for LeVar Burton to be the host of Jeopardy. And he said he would do it. Now, he hasn't done preliminary hosting or whatever. They may approach him about that, but that's the latest I've heard. But we'll see what happens on that front.
See, what I don't know is in the TV world, they will tape oftentimes 5 episodes the same day.
Yeah.
And in a TV year, mm-hmm. I'm guessing you probably get 20 to 26 weeks of actual stuff, and then the rest of it is reruns.
Yeah. No, you're right. I don't think he would mind doing it. It's just going to be interesting how thing winds up with Green Bay, because I'm like a lot of people, I don't think I'd be shocked if he finished his career in Green Bay. A lot of people think, oh, he won't leave Green Bay. I said, to me, after Joe Montana left San Francisco, Peyton Manning left Indy, and Tom Brady left New England, why can't Aaron Rodgers leave Green Bay? Brett Favre didn't finish in Green Bay. I just think he's still kind of miffed about them drafting Jordan Love.
Oh, it's very obvious he's pissed off about it. But let me ask you this. If you're Green Bay, you don't know a thing about Jordan Love at this point.
So
why are you so quick to want to move him if you're Green Bay? Why are you so quick to want to get Jordan Love in there when you know nothing about him?
No, I agree with you, George. I mean, I'm willing to stay with Aaron Rodgers, but there's reports now that he won't restructure his contract. So that's going to be interesting how that shakes out, because I think there's going to be a bit of divorce. George, there's one other thing I'm going to talk to you about, and I'm going to let you go on this whole Jadeveon Clowney thing. Maybe he makes it with Cleveland, maybe he doesn't. I don't know. A lot of people think that he will, since he's going to be with Myles Garrett in a different defensive system. Maybe that helps him. I just don't know if the guy is going to be able to stay healthy, because he hasn't. And I guess, as they said, of his last 32 games, he's only played in 21. He's got 3 sacks. Of course, they're not mainly drafting for sacking. But everybody seems to think that this Super Bowl move is going to help Cleveland get over the hump, get to the Super Bowl. I don't know if I buy that, but we'll have to wait and see. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, George. It's always good to talk to you. Take care, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Eric, thank you. I made the comment, Jack, a couple of days ago that I don't think I've seen a player who was able to build more off one college play than Jadeveon Clowney, when he basically did everything but behead the Michigan running back. And that's his poster child play.
Yeah. To $10 million, the guy hasn't had a double-digit sack season in the NFL. Zero sacks last season in eight games. I believe only 25 pressures. The guy was invisible out there for a lot of the time, and I get it. You know, he needs a counterpart on the opposite side, and the Titans didn't provide that last year while he was healthy. But still, you know, you're making whatever the Titans paid. I don't think it was close to $12 million last year. He'll just come in and make an impact. I don't care who's lining up across from you. Maybe he is able to feast just on the opposite side of Myles Garrett, because Myles Garrett has had a few seasons. In fact, three in a row of double-digit sack numbers. He's one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. So Clowney can kind of slip in behind him and, you know, situationally pass rush and wreck games. But do I think he's worth $10 million? Absolutely not. The idea of Jadeveon Clowney is a lot better than the actual product you see. The rewards that you're fantasizing about are often much less than the risks you're taking by paying him all this money.
So it's one of two things. Either Cleveland is fantasizing over the Jadeveon Clowney who, for instance, in Seattle on that one night on Monday Night Football against San Fran 2 years ago, tore it up. Mm-hmm. Remember, they couldn't block him. But the problem is you don't see that anywhere near enough. So they're either fantasizing that that is what he's going to be, or they have done some extensive medical stuff on where he is right now and have determined in their own mind that he's a diamond in the rough and just get him healthy and this is what you'll get. I think it's dangerous.
Yeah, and he took a shot on the way out at the Titans yesterday in his introductory press conference in Cleveland. He brought up that the Browns had won more games than the Titans. The Browns won 12 games last year, and he said, well, that's more than my team won last year. Kind of as a little dig, rubbed some Titans fans the wrong way. At the end of the day, it was true, but who is he to be taking jabs at a team that he really didn't help at all?
Who was the other guy? Vic Beasley? I mean, he was basically Vic Beasley with maybe a little more...
He was Vic Beasley who showed up to
practice.
Yeah, a little more practice.
A little more playing time. So, back to Aaron Rodgers. There is no question that he is harboring a big grudge at Green Bay. And I don't know if it's simply that he's ticked off that they didn't call him ahead of time and say, look, here's what we're doing. Don't read anything into it. It's 3-4 years down the road. I don't know if he's mad that they didn't give him enough respect to tell him that. They sprung it on him at the last minute. He didn't expect it. You think about it, Jack. He's harbored some things before. He wasn't happy when he kept getting bypassed in the draft, and he's made a lot of people eat their words. And now it's almost like he's gotten that chip back on his shoulder, and it really doesn't look very good.
No. And you saw it when McCarthy was up there. They would butt heads often. I don't know that there's a coach in the NFL right now that has more to prove, not to the ownership group, but to a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, because look, Aaron Rodgers has a potential out next year. You know, there's a way for the Packers to get rid of him and still save some money.
Right.
So that's very likely. If Rodgers says at the end of the year, you know what, I'm done here. Y'all didn't give me enough weapons while I was here. You had a chance to hit big on a first-round wide receiver. You drafted a backup quarterback for me. I'm not nearly close to finished. And, you know, what even makes this more appealing to Rodgers is he sees Tom Brady leave the Patriots, go to Tampa Bay, win a Super Bowl in his first year. Why can't Rodgers do that?
It ain't that easy. I mean, it's a wonderful fairy tale.
I'm just saying it makes the idea more attractive.
No question. I'm just saying if you think you're going to snap your finger and it's automatic.
No. That's not how the NFL works.
Well, no. You know, for the Packers, though, you look at it from their side, he's taken them to two NFC championships back-to-back now. But why would they want to move on, even with the Jordan Love and all that?
Well, they want it because you can't. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He has been one of the top five quarterbacks since he stepped into the league in Green Bay. So they don't want to move away from him. But
there's more bitterness there. There's something else that's gone on here that we don't know about.
You think he's just difficult, though?
Oh, there's no question that's part of it.
I think it's definitely some on his side here.
There's no question that's part of it. Is it the full story? I don't know. Anyway, 4:38, we'll go to the break. If you want to get in, if you got something you want to yap about, 844-5600 is the number. We're back with more on WNSR.
Good afternoon. Still very heavy and slow traffic as we check it out live here on 24 eastbound. As they work this crash here near Haywood Lane, it's got traffic extra slow now as you head out towards Murfreesboro. Again, that's 24 eastbound. We're looking at it live right here at Haywood Lane. Again, there's a lot of traffic trying to get out towards Rutherford County, 8th Avenue and Hillview. Heights, that's a wreck in Berry Hill that's tying up traffic. Now they're reporting a wreck on 24 eastbound between White Creek Pike and OHB as you head towards coming in from the Jolton area. Hey, Ripley's Aquarium Sleep with the Sharks coming up on May 12th.
With all the weather getting warmer, I think about golf. Even though my golf game isn't that great, and I want to throw an option out there that you may not have thought of in a while. Riverside Golf Links at 640 Old Hickory Boulevard. With new ownership, the golf course has improved dramatically. The greens look awesome. There are 27 holes, 9 of which are an executive course for beginners and juniors. So the other 18 holes have great bunkers. It's fun. It's relaxing. The pace of play will allow you to get 18 holes in 4 hours or less. So let me give you a couple of other particulars. A brand new grill, a stocked pro shop, and improved practice facilities. Great fun, great way to entertain yourself. Dial them up for a tee time, 847-5074, or go online, riversidegolflinks.com.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
It's a Bill King Show.
Whoever gets hired at any school, the fan base is immediately hypnotized. Once that guy stands at the podium and he says, go team, and here's the way it's going to be, and I'm a winner, the fans automatically just melt. They could hire a guy you've never heard of from a different planet. And once that guy's done at the podium, you'd say, there it is. Happens every time.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Sports
Radio, WNSR. 4:42 as we welcome all of you back on your ride home on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. George Plaster, Jack Gentry alongside, and so is Tony in Nolensville. Tony, welcome.
Hello, George, and hello, guys, and Terry, hello to you in a 4 o'clock hour. This is a unknown territory to you, isn't it?
We have no idea where Terry is, Tony. He is lost in the God only knows where of supposedly red boiling springs.
La.
Yeah,
maybe the 4 o'clock hour does have him baffled. George, you know this. I've heard this on a couple other talk shows and some inner circle friends of mine. Ever since Dave Dombrowski left this group talking about bringing Major League Baseball here, you don't hear no more talk of this. And the committee and board members that they have put together is a who's who list. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't Eddie George on that list also?
I believe he is or was.
I think that'll change.
Tony, let me say this. Nobody wants this group to succeed more than I do. There aren't 10 people in this city who love the game of baseball more than I do. But the fact of the matter is, this is all going to get decided when you tell me who the primary owner is and how deep is his pockets.
That's where I was going with this too, George, and you've talked about that before, and you're absolutely right. I'd love to see Major League Baseball come here and see my Cubs and your Braves and Terry's Yankees and all of that. You know, I mean, I would love to see that where we wouldn't have to go to their parks and see Major League Baseball. But at the same time, it seems like we've got a large outstanding board cast of board members, but nobody's ever come forward with that check, you know, or who we've got to put their stamp on there and say, we want it, here's the money. And that's something that I've just been curious with, you know, with what's going on. It seems like each week or every 2 weeks or so, they announce another new candidate or a new member to the board and so on and so forth. But I was just curious, you know, other than that, what else were your thoughts or Jack's also?
Well, I'll start it. I mean, look, it's nice, but we were told that Dave Dombrowski was going to stay here. I never believed it. Dombrowski is an incredibly respected guy who the Phillies, when they eventually made the change, they reached out to him. Okay, then it was Tony La Russa who was on that list, and while nobody ever saw coming that at age, what is it, 70, is it 76?
He's up there.
That he'd take the White Sox job.
Yeah. So, I mean, the bottom line is, tell me who the primary owner is. And it may well be that they've got that person and are not willing to say it right now. But until I know who that is, I mean, this is nice, but, you know, if you put me on that committee, does it mean anything? No. What have I got the money to do? Perhaps fix a couple of light bulbs. And Jack, you can fix one light bulb. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
you got to
absolutely
the guy with the big bucks, not just the, you know, the Justin
Timberlake. $1 billion bucks.
We need B's, not M's. And I don't think they've presented a guy like that. And sooner or later, there's going to be a winter meetings where they're expected to walk in with a plan. And in order to have that plan in order and for the MLB to respect that plan and pay attention to them is to have this billionaire guy.
Now, what I do think they've done with all this smoke and mirrors kind of stuff is they've gotten a lot of people outside of this market saying they're the number one thing on the list. But what I'm also hearing, Tony, is that because of COVID, Major League Baseball has privately, even though they haven't just come out and said it, this process is being backed up 2 years. And so while I thought that they were going to have all this done by the baseball winter meetings this coming December at Opryland, I don't think that's the case anymore.
Well, we've got an old-timers banquet coming up in May, 1 month from now, in 3 weeks, actually. And I'm sure there's going to be some discussions there. There's going to be some interesting talk around some tables and that type of thing, because it's going, you know, it's just kind of died out. And I just wanted to get your take on it here of late and just see where y'all were, you know, what your input, because you're way closer to a lot of other people's. And next time you have Danny on, you might want to throw, you know, touch on that. That'd be good.
That's an excellent. Hey,
show. Happy for your Braves today. I listened to it. What a game. Unbelievable.
Thanks. And who's speaking at the old-timers deal?
Sir?
Who's speaking at the old-timers deal?
Bucky Dent.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Do the Red Sox know that?
I don't know if the Red Sox fans that are going to be going to old-timers, if they're going to want to hear his stories.
I agree. Tony, thanks.
Thank you, George. Bye-bye, buddy.
One of the most dramatic home runs in baseball history. The 78 playoffs. Down 2-0 in the seventh inning. Mike Torres breezing for the Red Sox. Bucky, and he now has, by way of Red Sox fans, a middle name that's not very flattering. Bucky Blanking Dent.
That's pretty sweet.
Check it out.
Cooler than my middle name.
Which is?
Alan with an O.
Alan, thank you.
Alon.
Welcome.
Buckeye Dan, you're up next at 448.
Buckeye Dan, do you have a middle name?
Yeah. Scarlet and Gray. But anyway, so the Browns went ahead and did what I didn't want them to do. Well, can you answer me a question?
We'll try.
Can you even hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We're hearing you.
Okay, so Clowney's played for the Texans, and then I believe it was the Seahawks, and then the Titans, right?
Yes.
Every one of those teams thought they were going to get something special out of it, and I don't know that any of them really did. Why do teams keep thinking they're going to, and keep spending millions, and I mean with a capital M, you know, on this guy, thinking that they're going to be the ones to get, you know, something special out of him? I'm not going to sit there and expect.
I think we lost him there. It is interesting, and I'll admit I'm fixated a little bit. I was one of them that wanted the Titans to sign him. I'm not going to lie and now act like I didn't want that. I did. But I fell into that same trap. I had watched him on a Monday night football game the year earlier just single-handedly beat San Francisco. They couldn't block him. And yet you don't see that often enough out of him. It's like it's a big tease.
And when you get a player the size and the frame and the athleticism and the speed off the edge like Clowney, I mean, it's not a surprise that some of these NFL coaches, you know, these great NFL coaches who have been there, done that, who think they can fix every problem with a guy like Clowney, continue to take chances on him. It's mind-blowing, but at the same time, if it pays off, the payoff is humongous.
Right. So, I mean, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, unlike Vic Beasley, where I don't have any benefit of the doubt.
I believe that Jadeveon Clowney wants to play the game of football.
See, I do too. And so I ask myself, okay, what's his level of health? And I'm not convinced it's been all that good. Because I'm like you, I do think he wants to perform. In Tennessee, I just never saw the motor rev up. Now, maybe in Cleveland, because they double-team Myles Garrett, he gets less attention. But honestly, near the middle of the season I never noticed that he was getting triple-teamed. I don't think people felt they had to.
Well, yeah. I think that argument, too, is kind of thrown out the window when you look that he played to the other side of J.J. Watt, who is also, especially in those years that he's with them, was one of the top pass rushers. So the double team thing has really never held him back from being, you know, the 10-plus sack guy in the year.
I'll say this, in regard to his time with the Titans and his signing with the Titans, which I was very excited about because anybody last offseason, you know, they're coming in with a plan to help the pass rush. Awesome. That sounds great to me. I'm sold. Who is it? Jadeveon Clowney? Awesome. He did damage against the Titans in Houston, and it looked so great on paper. But when it came time to throw the pads on, you know, he took a while to get in mode for minicamp and for training camp, and, you know, he signed late, so he wasn't Jadeveon Clowney by week one. And, you know, by the time some wear and tear started to add up, messes up a knee, says, you know what, let's go ahead and operate. I'm done for the year. And while you guys are still working, vying for a playoff spot, I'm going to be in Houston. Don't bother to call.
Right. So you do wonder, when he takes the shot that he took, was there a conversation somewhere where somebody got in his face and said, you know, doesn't look like the motor's running at 100%. Because for him to take that shot based on his lack of productivity, I've got to think somebody did.
Yeah. I mean, but the Browns are also a franchise that hasn't been afraid to spend money on questionable guys or guys with questionable health history. Jack Conklin, now his health injuries weren't nearly as bad as Clowney's, but he had a deal. I believe he had a knee deal. And OBJ, he's another guy. He had character issues. I mean, personality. I mean,
not OBJ. I'm shocked.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's always been that kind of guy. But still, I mean, the Browns aren't – they don't shy away from these type of players. Olivier Vernon last year, he worked, got hurt, didn't work. The Browns do things a bit differently, and maybe that's because they don't have the culture that's used to being there later in the season in January when the playoffs roll around. But, I mean – they're signing big names, and it worked last year.
Yeah, they got close. They were maybe one possession away from winning in Kansas City. I know we got to go to the break. We'll wrap this baby up when we come back.
Good afternoon. Still heavy traffic here on the South Loop, the West Loop. It's busy. You would expect I-40 out through Mount Juliet. All that traffic traveling through Wilson County. 24 eastbound between Whites Creek Pike and OHB. They're working that wreck in the Jolton area. It's got traffic slowing that part of the interstate. 8th Avenue and Hillview. That wreck should be over to the sign in just a few minutes. Hey, Ripley's Aquarium, Sleep of the Sharks, coming up on May 12th. All the details now at Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
Is Dale Earnhardt Jr. considering taking his junior motorsports team Cup Series racing in the future? Well, that's the rumor flying around the garage area, and it's probably because Junior said it himself. Partially due to the next-gen race car coming up next season, but one of the roadblocks, he said, would be getting his team a charter to kick things off. Dale said that they have talked about it, which means I'm guessing there's got to be someone out there willing to help make this happen. It would be huge for the sport of NASCAR if Dale Earnhardt Jr. is a Cup Series owner. You really shouldn't be surprised that Josh Berry won the Xfinity Series race at Martinsville last weekend, because he's a short track ace.
Yeah, I think so. You know, like I said, going there, that was obviously a race.